It's your job. I give you money, you give me ideas.
And you never say thank you.
That's what the money is for.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that can sprint at speeds of up to 74 miles per hour, making it the fastest land animal. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Eleanor, super screen time mom, Mormon.
One of us is going into a muddy puddle, and it's not going to be me.
Steve throws rocks at houses, Kaltenbaugh.
44 pounds of trivia granite, coming right at your ankles.
And Paul chuckles the clown, Jensen.
Do you know what it's like to have your skull crushed by an elephant? Wait.
Dark.
Hello once again, and thank you for joining us for today's match. We have arrived at the deciding contest here in the Pipe Dream Division. Today's winner is going to go on to the season finale championship match next week. Keeping the scores, as always, let's say hello to Score Master Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. Yeah, I had a wonderful experience today. I was driving my son around, and he just out of nowhere turns to me and says, Dad, would it make more sense for Chuds to come out of the toilet than for Ghoulies to do so? And Harry Chapin started playing, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful moment.
Well, on that bittersweet note, let's also say hello to the man behind the boards. It's production master Dave.
Yo, is let's do this.
He knew it would get me every time. Okay, I need to stop talking, so let's throw it to our players with a game of My Champion. In this game, each one of our players has picked a champion from somewhere in the world of pop culture. But we pick the battle those champions are fighting. Reluctant Peppa Pig expert Eleanor Mormon, who is your champion today?
My champion is the Baroness from The Sound of Music.
Curling enthusiast and overly proud Marylander Steve Kaltenbaugh, who is your champion?
My champion is Jala Jayaratna from the game Thirsty Suitors.
And pub quiz host Paul Jensen, who have you got for your champion?
I have the one-legged dog Lil Brudder from Homestar Runner.
A truly wonderful, eclectic group of champions today with Dave on judging duty. So let's go ahead and spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, which champion, in an attempt to pull off an April Fool's Day joke, would be most likely to accidentally kill someone? Eleanor, why is Baroness Schrader from The Sound of Music gonna most likely accidentally kill someone in an attempt to pull off an April Fool's Day joke?
All right, here's what we know about the Baroness. She is a smart, rich lady. She knows how to put herself in position to get what she wants. So she would set up the perfect prank, have it all together just like she got the captain engaged to her. But then when it is time to get the ball across the touchdown line, she fumbles. She can't do it. So something would happen where she F's up, and much like she's just like, oh, whatever, I guess Maria can just have the captain. She would be like, oh, I guess whatever, I'll just kill them. And that would be the end of the prank.
It did not end up where I thought it was going to, but thank you for that argument, Eleanor. Steve, make the case for Jala Jartiane from Thirsty Suitors as being the one who's most likely going to accidentally kill someone while trying to pull off an April Fool's Day joke.
Sure. Well, first off, if you haven't played Thirsty Suitors, strong recommendation. Jala Jayaratna, at the beginning of the game, is just coming back to her small Northwest hometown, 3 years after going no contact with her family and running away with the mayor's daughter. So without a doubt, her easiest April Fool's Day joke is to come back and announce that she is engaged or married, which would absolutely horrify her mother. Well, her father would be okay. Her assumingly perfect sister. So that would definitely be the easiest way to kill her mother. Also, she is revered by the youth of her town as a skateboard goddess. So it would be very easy for her to pretend to pull off an awesome skate trick and then have one of the kids who worship her try that trick afterwards and fail horribly. So in either one of those scenarios, she could definitely pull off an April Fool's joke that would almost definitely get someone killed.
Thank you, Steve. All right, Paul, make the case for Little Brother from Homestar Runner.
Look, Little Brother is just a drawing of a one-legged dog with the heart of a champion. But that drawing makes people weep instantly. Now, I don't think Strong Bad ever intended to kill somebody, but Homestar Runner cries so much from that picture, I can imagine at one point he will accidentally drown from his own tears and sorrow.
Thank you, Paul. All right, all the arguments are in. It is now time for Dave to make our decision. Dave, who's our winner going to be today?
All right, this is a little more inside baseball than usual, but I do have to explain, before the show started and I got everybody's list of my champions, I said to them all, I have no idea who any of these people are. I have not consumed the media from which these people come from. I haven't seen The Sound of Music yet. I know. I haven't played Thirsty Suitors, and I haven't watched Homestar Runner, even though I was there at the beginning of the internet. That's not their problem. It's my problem as the judge. But here's why Baroness is an easy win for me. There is nothing that she said in the description of The Sound of Music Baroness that didn't sound like she was also describing the Baroness from G.I. Joe, who I thought she was picking originally. Smart, rich lady, knows what she wants, but usually doesn't get it. That's the Baroness from G.I. Joe, and that's why the Baroness wins today.
Yeah! I am 3-for-3 in my champion. Don't come at my high school debating.
Honestly, can't even argue with that.
Well, that's the way it happens here on the quiz show. Eleanor, you have won my champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Eleanor, answer this question and you will have half a point to your name before we even start round one. Here is your half point question. This classic musical, released on April 1st, 1965, went on to win 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Musical Score Adaptation.
Oh, that's all I get? Just a musical that came out in 1965. Well, I have been consuming a lot of West Side Story content lately, so I thought if you said Best Supporting Actress, I would have said it was definitely that. But so I'm just going to say West Side Story.
Oh boy.
West Side Story 1961. Eleanor, when you first sent your champion over before we started.
Oh, is it The Sound of Music?
I thought you had somehow seen the half point question because the answer is indeed The Sound of Music.
Oh, unlucky.
April Fools, I guess.
You couldn't have included Nazis in the questions.
They didn't win anything.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, I'm upset at myself now.
Well, you may have missed the half point, Eleanor, but you do get to go first in round one, all with an E. Everyone likes the recent and with an E, so we thought we could improve some other properties by adding an E. In this game, we'll describe a TV show or movie that has been improved by adding the letter E to the end of one of the words in the title. You give the name of the newly E'd property. For example, if we told you that a 2002 movie had a trio of prehistoric animals find what looks like a Slurpee and have to get it back to its rightful home among the humans, you'd know that that was called
Icy Age.
Icy Age with an E added to the end of ice. That answer would get you 10 points. If you need more help, we can tell you the name of one of the actors in the new version, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Let's start with Eleanor. From the year 2007, a stylish story of mid-century advertising and social change told through the lives of Midtown Mafia bosses.
That would be Made Men.
And you never say thank you!
That's what the money is for!
Made Men for the full 10 points. Very good. Next to Paul, from the year 1997. Criminals hijack a plane bringing a vital shipment of ice cream to Las Vegas.
Oh, that would be Cone Air.
Very good. Steve, from the year 1977. The only way to defeat the dark side is to look it right in the eyes and get it to blink first.
That's got to be Stare Wars.
Very good. Eleanor, back to you, from the year 2000. A stop-motion film about imprisoned poultry working with an ancient Germanic alphabet.
I saw this movie in the theaters. This is Chicken Rune.
You saw Chicken Run in the theaters?
It was crazy. My mom and I were like, what's happening?
Next to Paul from the year 2004. When the girl he was protecting gets kidnapped, a former CIA agent gets so angry that the thick hair on top of his head is ablaze.
Ooh. I'll take the hint.
This movie stars Denzel Washington.
Ah, Maine on Fire.
For five. To Steve, from the year 2009. Unexpectedly, being sutured to other people by a mad scientist makes you happier, more compassionate, and a better person all around.
I am ashamed to know this. This is the humane centipede.
Yes, it is. Back to Eleanor. From the year 1954. A tennis player looking to get rid of his wife runs into a guy who gives him his phone number and requests he call him up.
Okay, I was thinking people meeting on a train. I thought train, that was not part of the question, but I was thinking strangers on a train, but I don't see an E addition to that. All right, I will take the hint, please.
The stars Grace Kelly.
Shoot. Double Indemnity. What is she in? What movies is Grace Kelly in? I don't pass. Sorry, I don't know it.
Paul?
Is it Dial Me for Murder?
Oh.
We'll dial you for murder. Yes, you had the right director at guessing strangers on a train there, Eleanor. Over to Paul from the year 1984. A fast-talking Detroit detective has been under a lot of stress, so he employs a mechanism to deal with it by taking a trip to SoCal.
That would be a Beverly Hills Cop.
Next to Steve from the year 2019. A bride's new in-laws force her to spend a night playing a deadly game of hide-and-seek, looking for the short messages that have been left for her.
Okay, I think that is called Ready or Note.
Keying off Ready or Not, that is correct, which will take us into our first score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Everyone is doing very well so far. Right now, Steve's in the lead with 30 points. Paul's got 25, and Eleanor is still very much in it. She's got 20.
Eleanor, this next question's for you from the year 2013. Humanity builds giant robots to fight monsters coming from a dimensional rift, but it's cold down there, and they get covered in frost.
Okay, wait. I was assuming it was Pacific Rim, but now I'm trying to think of where the E would be added. Oh, Pacifice Rim?
Pacific Rime, R-I-M-E, the icy frost layer.
Today we learned.
I learned it after Dan wrote this question. I was interested to learn about what rime was. All right, Paul, we are over to you. From the year 2014. The only way for superheroes to stop a terrifying future is to send someone to the 70s where they still have that good glue.
That good glue. I'll need a hint.
This movie stars Patrick Stewart.
Oh, boy. X-Men Days of Future Paste?
Good for five.
Paul is stunned he got that answer correct and stunned it was an answer in the game.
Yeah, yeah. Generally stunned. Yeah. That's just how it's going to go today.
Yep. Steve, we are over to you. From the year 1975, the head of the Venetian Republic needs to get some money to help his girlfriend, so he robs a bank.
Okay, head of the Venetian government. So I think that's going to be Doge Day Afternoon.
Good for another 10. Steve's on a hot streak. Eleanor, last adding an E answer for you. This one comes from the year 2013. A listless writer becomes dependent on an AI that sounds like Scarlett Johansson, but is tied to a particular place.
That is here.
Here from her. To Paul from the year 1990. An idiosyncratic FBI agent approaches a murder in a quirky town by using lots of string to make connections on his crazy wall.
I will go with Twine Peaks.
And our last one is for Steve, from the year 2004. The groundbreaking drama about the lives of gay Francophone women.
Okay, groundbreaking drama about gay women is going to be the big L, so I'm going to say that's the big L.
It would be the L word, the L word, that original.
Shoot.
I think you're mixing up with Laura Linney's The Big C.
You're exactly right, yeah.
Okay, but the L word, wee-wee, ho-ho-ho. That's it for round one. Up next, the scores from Dan, and onward to round two.
Going to round two, it's time for the Hello Down There score break. This is the movie where Merv Griffin says, and I'm so happy I get to make Dan say this, "So now, you music lovers, fasten your seatbelts. For the first time anywhere, any place, a brand new rock group called The Green Onion and their manager, Nate, tells me he is stoned on these Shouters. They're mellow yellow, turned on and groovy, and the lead chick is so wigged out, she's out of sight." Speaking of out of sight, Steve and Paul are tied with 40 points. Eleanor's trailing with 30, but that means she's go first in round two.
It also means Eleanor gets to take a crack at the Threequalizer. Eleanor, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You'll have three chances to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. Name the top three domestic grossing movies featuring a titular surface ship. They were released in 2003, 1997, and 1972, respectively.
Okay, well, obviously the 1997 one is Titanic. Okay, 2003. Top three domestic grossing adventure. Okay, well, I'm going to say the Poseidon Adventure. Okay. And then what came out in 2003 that is about a boat that made a lot of money in 2003? I don't think there's a big Oscar-y movie from that year because I just was reading all the recaps. Okay, I'll just say Titanic, Electric Boogaloo.
Would watch.
Would that we got Titanic too. No, this is Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, the name of that ship.
I saw that movie
title.
In the theaters also, obviously, as a millennial, but...
If it makes you feel better, I was going for Battleship, so I was super wrong.
Steve, are you under the impression that the movie Battleship, they were on a battleship called
Battleship?
I just want to be explicitly clear about this, that I am an actual U.S. Navy veteran and also a big dumb idiot.
Well, hopefully none of you will prove yourself to be big dumb idiots in round two, entitled The First Annual Fantasy Poseidon Adventure Team Draft. Other shows do fantasy sports drafts or draft cast members from popular franchises, but we have more niche interests, which is why we're doing a fantasy draft of cast members from the three different versions of the Poseidon Adventure: the 1972 original, the 2005 TV movie version, and the 2006 feature remake. We'll tell you why we're picking a member of the casts of one of those versions to be on our team of survivors based on another role that actor had. You name both the actor and the other project we're using to justify the pick. So, if a member of the 1972 cast was picked because who knows their way around a boat better than Lieutenant Commander Quentin McHale, you'd know the actor was...
Ernest Borgnine.
Ernest Borgnine, and the justification was from his role in...
McHale's Navy.
McHale's Navy, that would get you 30 points in total. Now, if you got just one of the elements, either Borgnine or McHale's Navy, you'd get 10 points. We are ignoring 1979's Beyond the Poseidon Adventure for this game because everyone else always has. Let's kick it off with Eleanor. This is someone from the 2006 cast. If a group is going to survive, they need a leader. Someone who can forge a disparate group into a cohesive unit. And there's no one who's done a better job of that than Raymond Holt.
Oh, that is Andre Brower from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Full 30 to Eleanor. Next to Steve, a member of the 2005 cast. When the ship starts to sink, people are going to be scared. You need someone who's going to be unfazed. This guy's seen things you wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion, sea beams glittering in the dark near the Tannhäuser Gate. He's going to be ready for anything.
Okay, so that is... it's definitely from Blade Runner. And I think that was Rutger Hauer.
If you'd gotten that wrong, I was going to tell you that your points were lost like tears in rain, but you got it right, so I have to make that joke awkwardly afterwards and not organically at all. Full 30 to Steve. Next to Paul, someone from the 1972 cast. He not only captained a submarine, but he picked a course of action and stuck to it, even in the face of a mutiny from his first officer.
Oh, boy. I'm trying to think of who this is. Yeah, I don't have a clue of who this actor is.
Taylor, do you want to tell him your joke now?
What? Oh, that all your points were lost like tears in rain?
Yeah.
When it's no longer appropriate to the question. Yes, yes, my new thing. No, in this case, if we're talking mutiny on a submarine, the movie is Crimson Tide, with Gene Hackman also appearing in the Poseidon Adventure.
Yep.
Eleanor, we are back to you with a 1972 Poseidon Adventure cast member. This guy is nothing if not adaptable. In one franchise, he played Galen, Caesar, and Cornelius, and did it all while wearing a mask that must have made it difficult to breathe.
Cornelius wearing a mask? Oh. Is it someone from the Planet of the Apes? But this is from the 1972 Poseidon Adventure, so it's not Gollum. I'll still say it. Andy Serkis.
Roddy McDowall playing those three roles across those original five Planet of the Apes movies. Steve, we are over to you, someone from the 2006 Poseidon Adventure. All that time at the Oceanographic Institute means he knows a lot about ships, and he's been on a sinking boat before. Don't know why he wasn't picked earlier in the draft.
All this time at the Oceanographic Institute. Wow. This is brutal. So I am going to guess this is Matthew McConaughey. Okay, then I am screwed. And Oceanographic Institute, I am just going to say, I got nothing.
Yeah, Steve, I think the important part of the clue was sinking ship. Think a movie that had a sinking boat on it. Maybe they need a bigger one.
Well, Leonardo DiCaprio, obviously.
Is it Titanic?
It's not Titanic. Paul knows this one.
Is it Richard Dreyfuss from Jaws?
It is the Oceanographic Institute where Hooper had his experience in that movie. Paul, we are over to you. Another member of the 2006 Poseidon Adventure cast. He's not a lot of people's first pick, but hear me out. When Vince got cast as Aquaman, I figured Johnny Drama did a lot of research just to get in good with Vince, and maybe because Aquaman comics are on his level, I think that could get him a leg up for survival.
Well, it seems like the show is Entourage. You mentioned two different characters. I am gonna go with Kevin Dillon.
Yes, in both Entourage and the 2006 Poseidon Adventure. Eleanor, we are back to you. Someone else from the 2006 Poseidon Adventure remake. We all agree we need a leader, but you've all missed out on the best leader. I'm talking Herb Brooks. He took a ragtag group, made them into Olympic champions, and majorly one-upped the USSR.
Okay, the movie is Miracle. The actor is the man with that hair. It's brown. It's not Richard Dreyfuss, but it's like Herb Brooks. It's a white man's name, generic white man's name. What is his name?
Need an answer, Eleanor.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss wishes he had that hair.
Yeah.
Truly, yeah.
We all do.
But the star of Miracle playing Coach Herb Brooks is Kurt Russell.
Oh, I was going to say Kirk Douglas, but I also knew that was wrong, but it was like in the universe.
Yeah, Kirk Douglas not doing a lot in 2006.
No, it would have been difficult for him to inspire.
Steve, we are over to you. Someone from the 2005 Poseidon Adventure cast. Yes, he's a cop, but he's not a rule follower. He's willing to go outside the box and work with a diverse team to solve problems, and that's exactly what we need to get off the boat. And he's funny in a very 1980s kind of way, so he can help cut the tension a little bit.
Okay, a cop who works with a diverse group of people in the 80s. I'm going to guess this is from Hill Street Blues. Oh, boy.
You can still take a crack at an actor if you'd like to.
I suppose I should, using my negative infinite knowledge about the Poseidon Adventure. I got another pass. Yeah. Sorry.
In this case, we're talking the Police Academy franchise with Steve Guttenberg popping up in that 2005 Poseidon Adventure. Paul, we are back to you. Someone from the 1972 cast. Anyone involved with the D-Day invasion would do pretty well on my team, but the paratrooper who got caught on a church steeple, then escaped from the Germans and helped capture the town?
Oh, that was it? Got caught on a steeple and saved a town. Oh boy. I'm just going down the cast list of the Poseidon Adventure from 1972. Who would that have been? I'll go Shelley Winters.
Shelley Winters as a paratrooper at D-Day? I'd watch that movie. That sounds
you'd
great.
Watch that movie.
I would.
Absolutely. Watch that movie.
So, Paul, do you have a guess for the movie?
How about The Dirty Dozen?
Eleanor?
Is the movie The Longest Day?
It is, with okay. Red Buttons filling that role in The Longest Day and also in The Poseidon Adventure.
Well, you know, famous Red Buttons.
Of course. And that will be our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Well, you know, Eleanor is currently the lead, but she's just dissing Red Button, so I think I might have to protect that down a little bit. Right now, Paul and Steve are tied with 70 points. Eleanor's lead with 100, and her next category is going to be all about Red Button. We've got a last minute change, just all about Red Buttons.
Yeah. All right, Eleanor, back to you. This is a cast member from the 1972 Poseidon Adventure. Sure, you might know him for his comedic roles, but this is the guy who helped solve the mystery of Altair 4. Plus, he got the survivors and Robbie the Robot off-world before it exploded.
Robbie the Robot and the survivors. What is Robbie the Robot from Altair 4? I don't know. None of these words mean anything to me. My head's gotten too big over Red Buttons in The Longest Day. And it exploded? Oh, is somebody from... No, off-world. I had an idea initially, and now it's escaped me. I don't know, I'm just going to say Starship Troopers.
In this case, we're talking the movie Forbidden Planet, the sci-fi reimagining of The Tempest with Leslie Nielsen as the hero in that movie. Also the ship's captain in the 1972 Poseidon Adventure. Next to Steve, someone from the 2006 cast. In order to survive, you're going to need to deal with a lot of potentially ill-behaved, scared people. And anyone who's been living with the Gallagher clan for so long is going to be an expert in just that.
Okay. The Gallagher clan, I believe, is Shameless? Okay. So now the question is, who is it going to be from there? I don't think Jeremy Allen White was super popular yet. So my best guesses are going to be Emmy Rossum or William H. Macy. And I'm going to say William H. Macy. Ah.
It's Emmy Rossum.
Oh,
wow, sorry, Steve.
What a twist.
The old 50-50-90 rule.
Yep. And our next one is to Paul. Someone from the 2005 cast. If I'm in an emergency situation and I need some steady guidance and someone who's calm under pressure, I can't think of anyone better than Dr. Elizabeth Corday.
All right, Elizabeth Corday is from ER, and her name is, oh, yeah,
See, remember I was saying earlier that Paul had a good radio voice or like a, you know, like a good audio voice? Did anybody think the Kool-Aid man just popped through the door when he said, oh, yeah.
I did. We one time got Paul to say ball with a ball on this podcast. That's right. So that was our biggest victory.
I'll do it again if it'll give me the point. Boy, I can see her. She's got curly hair. Her first name begins with an A, but I am not going to come up with that name.
Alex Kingston, the actress That's you're the thinking one. Of, but still 10 points for knowing ER. Eleanor, we are back to you for your last cast draft pick from the Poseidon Adventure. This person is from the 2005 version. I need someone who can fit in with the group, a supporting player who still has some courage, some physical capacity, and is maybe smarter than you give him credit for. And that's gotta be Ponyboy.
Oh, Ponyboy from The Outsiders. But, no, the question is, who played Ponyboy? This is it from the OG Outsiders? Who is in that? Whatever. I'll just say Rob Lowe.
C. Thomas Howell playing Ponyboy, the one person in that movie who didn't go on to a massive movie star career.
Yeah, is that a person? Like, is that
apparently so.
Wait, the star of Soul Man? You guys don't remember?
Oh, boy.
If you have any questions, just C. Thomas Howell.
A plus. Steve, we are next to you. This is someone from the 1972 cast. She has a lot of experience with tough situations, like when that phony preacher con man was trying to get a hold of her husband's ill-gotten gains during the Depression.
Oh, boy. I know the movie you're talking about.
Prove it.
Because I was just reading the list of top 100 villains, and he's very high up there.
Oh, it's Darth Vader.
I was also gonna make that joke.
I'm gonna say I know it's wrong, but Cape Fear. No, yeah, I know that's wrong.
But who's the Poseidon Adventure star who's not in Cape Fear?
Sure, yeah, I gotta pass, yeah.
The actor we're talking about here is Shelley Winters, the previously mentioned by Paul, her role in a different Robert Mitchum movie that's not Cape Fear, that's Night of the Hunter, the one film directed by Charles Laughton. And our last question is for Paul. This is someone from the 2005 cast. You're going to need a lot of skills to get off the boat, so I've got one guy who's a physicist, neurosurgeon, test pilot, rock star, and I'm going to say that we also get the Hong Kong Cavaliers as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is this The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai?
Across the Eighth Dimension, yes.
Yes. So that, I'm going to go ahead. Oh, boy. I'm going to go ahead and just guess Peter Weller.
Nice.
Wow.
A full 30-point answer for Paul to round out round two. Up next, scores again from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to our last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly answer Dan's pop culture riddle by the time our next episode comes out, and you can win a chance to name a score break right here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
A 5-part movie saga, but presented out of order. You'll only make it through the night if you're a cautious hoarder. A night of unrestricted crime's a dubious endeavor. First anarchy's election year could maybe last forever.
Think you know what that is? Then head to usaquizshow.com/riddle or hit that link in your show notes to send in your answer and win that prize. We'll put the answer in a week on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score break?
After two rounds of play, it's time for the Xanadu score break. Xanadu, do we ever find out why the gods want a roller rink anyway? Right now, Eleanor's lead with 110 points. Paul is tied with 110 points. Steve is trailing with 80 points. That means he'll get to go first in the next round and will need 4 correct answers in order to pull into the lead.
And anything can still happen as we get into the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Susie is a good thing, all kinds of people, how long, and Fauna's song. Now, of course, we all know, without any explanation, so it's completely superfluous that I have to say that all four of these lightning round category names are also the titles of songs in the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical Pipe Dream to celebrate the finale of the Pipe Dream division today. No reason I had to point that out, just really filling time with that piece of information. But regardless, these category names remain a little bit mysterious as to what is the content of the round behind them. So pick the thing you're going to do best on, or maybe keep something that seems easy away from one of your fellow players. Steve, in third place, you get to go first. Your category choices are, once again, Susie is a Good Thing, All Kinds of People, How Long, and Fauna's Song.
Oof, you weren't kidding. Those are probably all hits, and they are all not super clear.
Steve, you just have to say that the red buttons won for Eleanor. That's the deal.
I am going to go with How Long.
You got a guess as to where this is going, Steve?
I'm going to guess that it's things with, like, measurements in the title.
You are darn close. Every answer in this lightning round contains a unit of time. So not measurements in general, but units of time. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Steve, are you ready?
Let's jam.
According to Rent, a year should be measured in love, not this more concrete numerical measure.
525,600 minutes.
Mork and Mindy and Laverne and Shirley are among the spinoffs of this show.
Happy Days.
This 2004 movie has Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen getting into Manhattan hijinks.
Day in New York.
New York Minute. Conan O'Brien and Andy Richter predicted the future in this late night recurring segment.
In the year 2000.
Ice Cube is happy to have gotten a beep from Kim in this 1992 song.
It was a good day.
Jack Black and Michael Cera wind up in the biblical city of Sodom in this 2009 parody.
Day one.
Year one. This Salem set soap has been running since 1965.
Pass.
In a 1998 Bare Naked Ladies hit, it's been this long since you said that you're angry.
1 week.
Arnold Schwarzenegger faces off against Gabrielle Byrne in this 1999 actioner.
Pass.
A 12-year-old becomes a pitcher for the Cubs in this 1993 Gary Busey movie.
Rookie of the Year.
Robin Williams is a sinister Save Mart employee in this 2002 Michael Vartan movie.
1 hour photo.
Kate Hudson dumps Matthew McConaughey for a magazine article in this 2003 rom-com.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Guy Fieri hosted this 2010 game show where contestants have to do simple tasks quickly.
Minute to win it.
Rod Serling is among the writers of this 1964 film about a U.S. military coup.
Pass.
Woo! Big round for Steve. Dan, let's hear that Steve report.
All right, only a few passes to go over for Steve. The Salem set soap that's been running since 1965 is Days of Our Lives. Arnold Schwarzenegger faces off against Gabrielle Byrne, who's, I think he's possessed by the devil, but not actually the devil, in End of Days. And Rod Serling is among the writers of one of my favorite movies, the 1964 film 7 Days in May, about a military coup in the United States. Steve had 9 correct answers for 170 points. He is now in the lead. Paul is 110, so he'll need 6 correct answers to tie and 7 to pull into first.
All right, Paul, 3 category choices remain on the board for you. They are Susie is a Good Thing, All Kinds of People, and Fauna's Song.
Wow. Okay. Let's try Fauna's Song.
Where do you think this is going, Paul?
Well, I'm assuming maybe animals are going to be involved.
Animals are indeed involved. This is going to be about singing animals in pop culture. 90 seconds on the clock. Paul, are you ready?
Sure.
In the 1994 version of The Lion King, one of Simba's voices was this home improvement moppet.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
In 2019's Cats, Grisabella's rendition of this song gets her chosen to go to the Heaviside Lair.
Memory.
James Corden voices this title Beatrix Potter character in a 2018 movie.
Peter Rabbit.
This Broadway legend and The Jerk actress sings the role of Alley Cat Rita in Animaniacs.
Bernadette Peters.
No one believes that this kind of animal can sing Michigan Rag in a 1955 cartoon.
A frog.
This EGOT winner is the voice of black sheep Nana Noodleman in Sing.
Pass.
An old pig teaches other animals a revolutionary song in the 1954 CIA-funded version of this book.
Animal Farm.
In What's Opera Doc, Bugs Bunny is in drag as this Wagner character.
Brumhilda.
In Lady and the Tramp, the singing lady is this breed of dog.
She is a Cocker Spaniel.
The character of Scat Cat in The Aristocats was modeled on this jazz trumpeter.
Dizzy Gillespie.
Louis Armstrong. The animals sing I'm a Star in this 2023 Disney animated effort.
Pass.
The song Zuckerman's Famous Pig plays in the 1973 cartoon version of this classic.
Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte's Web right there at the buzzer. Strong round for Paul. Dan, let's hear the Paul report.
Once again, just a couple of passes because people don't want to hear me talk. That's fine. I don't care. It's fine. Whatever. The EGOT winner, who is the voice of Black Sheep Nana Noodleman in Sing, is Jennifer Hudson, although I think we can all expect some other EGOT winners would have done just as well in that role. Think about it.
Mel Brooks.
Move on.
Lydia Tarr.
Lydia Tarr.
The animals sing I'm a Star in the 2023 Disney movie we've all forgotten about called Wish.
Boo!
Taylor, you didn't like Wish?
Oh, yeah.
The worst song in the Disney canon.
You have to know about something to forget about it first.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And Taylor's seen Song of the South. All right. So Paul had 9 correct answers. That means he is in the lead now with 200 points. Eleanor will have to match that to tie or do one better and get 10 correct answers in order to win.
All right, pressure's on, Eleanor. 2 category choices left for you. They are Susie is a Good Thing and All Kinds of People.
And I would like to select the special red buttons category. But I guess that he is a kind of person, so I will go with All Kinds of People.
Unfortunately, this category is not about red buttons, but rather just properties with the word people in the title. So movies, songs, TV shows, all about things with the word people in the title. 90 seconds on the clock. Eleanor, are you ready?
Yes.
Do You Hear the People Sing is sung twice in the U.S. version of this musical.
Les Miserables.
Shiny Happy People was a hit for this American rock band in 1991.
Barenaked Ladies.
R.E.M. This star of Howard the Duck is a liberal deputy D.A. in 2002's For the People.
Pass.
This comedian known for being on the street starred in 2015's Difficult People.
Billy Eichner.
According to a 1964 Barbra Streisand song, these people are the luckiest people in the world.
Pass.
Daisy Edgar Jones stars in this 2020 romance literary adaptation.
Normal People.
1965's For the People has him as a driven DA just before his role on Star Trek.
Pass.
In the title of a 1980 movie, Donald Sutherland and Mary Tyler Moore are these kinds of people.
Ordinary People.
This German star of Paris, Texas turns feline in 1982's Cat People.
Pass.
This 2013 Robbie Amell series shares a title with a 1973 series and a 1992 series.
Pass.
The 1982 TV spy thriller Smiley's People is based on the work of this novelist.
Le Carre.
This girls producer wrote and directed 2009's Funny People.
Lena Dunham.
Judd Apatow. In a 1996 biopic, Woody Harrelson played this pornographer and First Amendment advocate.
Larry Flint.
This 2014 comedy about black Ivy League students became a TV series in 2017.
Dear White People.
Dear White People, correct right at the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Eleanor report and our final scores.
You got it. So we all remember deeply, of course, the film Howard the Duck, and I know you can picture everybody in it. And so it gets hard because you're thinking, God, what was the name of the little person who was playing Howard the Duck? Was he perhaps in For the People? But no, it was Leah Thompson, the one person everyone remembers from that movie. According to Barbra Streisand's song in 1964, the luckiest people in the world are people
who need people.
William Shatner starred in 1965's For the People as a driven DA who didn't play by the rules. Natasha Kinski stars in 1982's Cat People, and the 2013 Robbie Amell series that's also a 1973 series and also a 1992 series, all of them are bad, is called The Tomorrow People. Eleanor needed 10 correct answers in order to win. She had 7. That means our final scores are Steve with 170, Eleanor with 180, and our winner with 200 points, it's Paul.
Congratulations, hey, Paul.
Congratulations, Paul.
Thank you.
Woof.
he managed to avoid Disney Channel original movies, and he's going all the way to the finals. Congratulations, Paul. But that does mean it is the end of the road for Steve and Eleanor. Fantastic season. So great to have you both on. Thank you. Thank you so much for playing. But before we go, Steve, is there anything you'd like to plug, something you'd like to point our listeners towards online?
Yeah, you can find me on Blue Sky and pretty much nowhere else nowadays. And as always, please feel free to try curling. Your local curling club is probably closer than you think.
Thank you, Steve. And Paul, anything you would like to plug?
I host pub quizzes in the Tacoma, Seattle area. Quizfix.net is my website. And yeah, come play some quizzes.
Fantastic. And Paul, we will see you next time for our Season 10 Grand Championship Finale Match. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. I have been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan, Production Master Dave, Steve, Eleanor, and Paul, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Today's scenario asks, which champion, in an attempt to pull off an April Fool's Day joke, would be most likely to accidentally kill someone? Keeping it light and breezy today.
A lot of my scenarios involve death.
90 seconds on the... Eleanor, are you ready?
Yes.
Can you give me another reading on that? That L was real low.
What L?
90 seconds on the clock. It just came across.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.